Triangular bone across its skull, chipped and damaged from countless battles. Its lizard-like skin rippled with muscles as the beast raised its head. Lacking ears, nose, or eyes, the great creature tracked its prey with its powerful mind. Toron felt a tug as the beast tasted his thoughts, a sinister intrusion that caused him to twitch. The sentient beast seemed to laugh and looked to Galathon, obviously communicating his arrival. The rock troll looked up and smirked.
"An outcast shadow mage," he called. "It's not often such a fine bounty comes to my house."
Toron frowned.
3 weeks ago you fought for Elenia. Now you would betray her friend?" "My loyalty comes at a price," he said with a laugh. "Even from Elenia."
His black eyes flicked to the Mind Reaver and it left the fire to circle Toron, its hot breath on his neck. He felt the urge to conjure an entity, but the gnome at Galathon's side cast a pair of anti-magic crossbows, all but daring him to fight.
"How much is the coin on my head?" Toron asked.
"The Empire says you're worth 300 gold, Galathon said. "The bounty on his sister is even greater."
Toron's eyes flicked to the bearded man at Galathon's other side. The man regarded him with disappointment and curiosity, almost as if he'd expected Toron's arrival. For the first time, Toron was glad Marrow was not at his side. Galathon raised his eyebrow.
"Lynx would know," he said, gesturing to the bearded man. "He may be a thief, but he's also a hunter of men."
"Between the two of you, the Empire is offering 1,000 gold,
Lynx exclaimed, folding his arms.
"I hope you've brought something of value to offer for your life."
Toron folded his arms and turned to Galathon.
"I can take you to Elsin."
The rock troll growled, and the Mind Reaver pawed the floor, reflecting its companion's anger. Galathon rose to his feet and came around the bone table, drawing the great axe on his back. Stepping past the Mind Reaver, he pointed the axe at Toron.
"You're not the first to claim that."
"I'm the first who can deliver."
Galathon brushed a hand across a wide scar on his chest.
"You don't think I've tried to kill the woman? 3 attempts, 3 scars. Why can you do what I cannot? She was my wife."
His statement stilled the room. And after a moment, the rock troll began to laugh. Rumbling at first, it built into a roar of amusement as he twirled his axe. Then abruptly, his humor evaporated.
"You lie," he said. "And I should give you to Severon."
The Mind Reaver growled in anticipation. Toron sneered.
"Given the chance, I'd kill Elsin faster than you."
The rock troll regarded him for several moments, and Toron sensed his life hanging by a thread. He readied himself for an escape, drawing heat into his palms in case the troll sentenced him to die. He had no doubt he could flee the room, but he could never escape the Reaver. The beast would track his mind across continents. The rock troll raised an eyebrow, his expression turning curious.
"What did she do?"
"You assume Elsin was to blame?"
someone called with a laugh. Galathon growled and they fell silent.
"She turned my son into a guardian," Toron said.
"Is your son alive?"
Galathon asked. He nodded.
"I wish to free Mal from her clutches."
The troll traced a mark across his cheek.
"I've fought a guardian before," he said. "And I'd rather fight a Reaver."
Severon coughed, as if in amusement.
"He's my son," Toron said. "He'll listen to me."
The troll mused aloud.
"Turn you over to the Empire and take your bounty, or help you hunt and kill Elsin."
"We both know you want to kill her," Toron said.
"Everyone knows that," he replied. Did Elenir send you here? She's always been good at sending soldiers to their deaths.
Does it matter? Toron asked.
Our desires are the same.
The rock troll scowled.
You think to manipulate me?
He reached out and caught Toron by the throat. Lifting him as easily as he would a chicken for dinner, he turned and slammed him into one of the masts. A sword clattered to the floor, and the skull of a sea creature cracked. Toron saw stars as he fought to breathe, but he retained his anger.
I've killed men for less,
Galathon snarled, his face so close Toron could smell his breath.
Are you a coward? Toron growled back. I thought you were a legend, but your greatest foe remains alive.
The rock troll turned and hurled him across the room. Toron drew on the shadows, which rotated him so he landed on his feet. As he skidded to a stop, he cast a ring of fire, the burst of flames sending those in the tavern scrambling away. Roaring his anger, Toron cast twin swords and pointed one at the rock troll.
When I kill her without you, the whole world will know that you were afraid, that you were bested by a human.
Anger twisted the rock troll's features, but he held himself in check. For all his history of rage and blood, he'd survived because he was smart. Toron doubted he could kill the troll, least of all with his mind reaver at his side, but he wasn't about to die without a fight.
The last human to speak to me in such a manner is dead. Buried under this very building, Galathon said.
What's it to be? Toron said, flicking his swords. Join me? Or see just how dangerous a shadow mage can be?
The troll's eyes flicked to the door, realizing for the first time that Toron had directed his landing so he was just feet from an exit. Not even the Reaver could stop him from getting outside, where the shadows of night would feed Toron's power. Galathon scowled and abruptly sheathed his axe.
When we find her, I'm the one to take her life.
Agreed, Toron said. But no one touches my son.
Agreed, Galathon said.
When do we depart? Toron asked.
He extinguished his fires, but kept the heat at his fingertips just in case.
Now,
the troll said, casting over his shoulder.
Groggeth, you have the crew in my absence. Aye, Captain,
the gnome said. Then Galathon turned to Severon.
I hope you remember the flavor of Elsin's mind.
The beast's snarl sent a chill into Toron's blood. Chapter 6 Seascape. 2 days after separating from Toron, the fleet reached the South Sea and turned north. Leaving the Empire behind, they followed the coastline into the unclaimed lands. Alidian spent most of her time in the captain's cabin, which Captain Erod had insisted she use. When word came that Seascape had been spotted by a scouting ship, she and Elenir ascended to the prow. Sunlight danced across the pristine waters, and gulls swirled above. 60 ships were scattered behind them, most barely afloat. It had been 3 weeks since the battle at Skykeep, and the soldiers were almost healed. They stood on the decks, excited to reach Seascape. Several on a neighboring ship caught sight of her and waved, a sign she returned. Once again, Alidian was filled with pride at the courage of the rebellion. Outnumbered and with little magic, the defiant army had prevailed because of clever tactics and Elenir.
It's been a long journey, Elenir said. But much work must be done.
Alidian did not respond. Elenir had sacrificed her magic in order to live. Over the last few weeks, Alidian had come to know the full weight of the mantle of Oracle as everyone sought her guidance. She sighed and looked to Elenir.
I fear I cannot do what the people require. You are born to a high calling, Elenir said with a smile. You will prevail.
A Lydian looked to the sea without seeing it. I spent a year of solitude in Tyria's prison, and I still feel the legacy of madness. Elenir gestured to the cots lining the ship's deck. A soldier needs time to heal the body, and you need time to heal the mind. Time is the very thing we lack, a Lydian said. Elenir raised an eyebrow at the tension in her tone. She blinked as if to examine the future, a habitual attempt to use her farsight, and then irritation tightened her features. Although Elenir hid her consternation well, she too struggled with her new role.
"What do you foresee upon our arrival?" Elenir asked.
"Conflict," Elidian replied, lowering her tone and glancing towards the nearby sailors. After you freed her from the Empire, Princess Aura arrived here, seeking aid from Duke Senin. He brought nearly 10,000 troops with him, but sees himself as Aura's superior. He believes her weak.
What does Senin desire?
A Lydian glanced about to make sure none were within earshot. His ambition is apparent, she said, lowering her tone. But I cannot discern what he seeks. Elenir nodded as if she'd expected it.
War has a way of eliciting the best and the worst. Those with courage rise to honor, and those without fall to greed.
How do I stop him?
You may not be able to, Elenir said. And remember, you cannot be the head of the rebellion. In my time as High Oracle, I dealt with thieves, bandits, and killers. Most from the noble class. You may need to forge a treaty in order to preserve the unity of our rebellion.
Or we could kill him.
The sinister whisper came from the darkest recesses of Elidian's mind. She'd hoped the magic of rage would fade after her escape, but it continued to linger, an omnipresent fury from her time in solitude. She shuddered and looked away, the image of the destruction she'd wrought flashing across her thoughts. The magic of rage had been shockingly powerful, yet it had controlled her. She was ashamed she yearned to feel such might again.
"I cannot understand the depth of agony you endured," Elenir said softly, and placed her hand on Olivian's augmented arm. "But will you tell me how you escaped?"
Elidian looked to her augmented flesh, hardly feeling her touch. In order to escape, Elidian had infused her arm with magic until it was stronger than steel, the muscles, sinews, and bones empowered with light and water. With it she'd shattered walls, but that was not all she'd broken. Her thoughts turned to the hundreds she'd killed in Dawn's Keep, of the destruction she had wrought. The magic of rage had been her salvation, but carried a legacy of regret. After a moment's silence, her mother inclined her head.
"When you are ready, I am here."
Her throat too tight for speech, Elidian merely nodded. She wanted to tell her mother everything, but could not bear the condemnation on her mother's face. Elenir had taught her to revere life, to protect the people, and she turned her back on those teachings to save herself.
"Are you ready?"
A set of approaching boots caused them to turn and find Devkin walking to them. The man was dressed for combat and carried a sword at his waist. He'd been her protector before the Empire, and he'd refused to leave her side since her escape. His armor was dark blue and black, replacing the white of a Runeguard captain. On the shoulder, the crest of the oracles had been replaced with a Lydian's family crest, the House of Elshiria. He nodded to Elenir as he joined them.
"Captain Erod says we should spot Seascape any moment."
A Lydian turned towards the shore and watched the trees glide by. The region was outside the Mage Empire and owned by scattered human settlements, the largest of which was Seascape, a small fortress that protected the shoreline from pirates. Although it did not have a centralized government, the area paid tribute to Seascape, which in turn funded a small fleet to guard the coast. Alidian dipped into her farsight, the sea disappearing into purple clouds. She found her tree, and although much was obscured by indecision, the next hour was clear. She smiled as she realized Seascape was just around the corner. She extinguished her magic and turned to Seascape, pointing as the ship rounded a butte. As she did, the watcher in the nest cried out a warning, and Ronalia banked the ship toward the citadel. Situated on the top of a cliff, the fortress was small, little more than a keep and a courtyard, but it had been expertly built with its fortifications thick and threaded with stone magic. Carved from the cliff, a road descended to the stretch of earth that led to a beach, where a sprawling village provided the region's central port. Tents and makeshift structures dotted the nearby trees, the sheer volume suggesting thousands had sought refuge outside the Empire. Many wore the uniform of Griffin soldiers, and she realized they were Duke Senin's men. As their fleet rounded the butte, a swell of noise erupted in the village, and people flocked to the beach. They waved and shouted in greeting, the atmosphere turning festive. The shouts of praise indicated that word of their victory had preceded their arrival. Then a line of soldiers appeared. Alidian expected them to ready the docks to receive them, but instead they marched onto the beach and forced people away. Others formed a line on the docks and armed their bows. Dressed in the brown and gold of the Griffin army, they were obviously prepared to deny Alidian's arrival.
"What's this about?"
Devkin asked with a frown, scratching his beard.
"This is Duke Senin's doing," Elenir said.
"Their impudence demands punishment."
"Bring us to the beach," Alidian called, shoving Whisper from her mind. The soldiers at the beach pulled levers to raise spears from the depths, their barbed tips extended to deter ships from landing at the village. Men and women on the shore cried out in dismay and anger, some spitting at the soldiers' feet.
"It appears the Duke's actions are not liked among the populace," Devkin said wryly.
Ronalia spun the helm and barked orders, bringing them to a halt 20 feet from the blockade of steel. Across the ship, Alidian met Ronalia's gaze, and the woman raised an eyebrow, gesturing to the ballistae. Alidian shook her head. Then the captain on the docks shouted across to them,
"You are not welcome here!"
"We have wounded that require aid," Elenia called.
"And we need supplies. Will you not offer refuge?"
The captain swept his hand at the overcrowded village.
"We lack the room, or resources."
Devkin growled and stabbed a finger at him.
"Nonsense! You lack the backbone to fight the Empire."
The man flushed but kept his anger in check.
"Duke Senin has ordered your fleet to depart."
"Where is Princess Aura?" Alidian asked.
The man shifted his feet and refused to meet her gaze.
"You must depart."
Elenir turned to Alidian and raised an eyebrow.
"Hi, Oracle. What would you have us do?"
Alidian felt the weight of many eyes upon her, but it was her mother's expression that buoyed her up. The smile, both amused and mischievous, was all the confidence she needed. Alidian rotated back to the captain and smiled.
"Your message has been conveyed, good captain, but I fear we must refuse."
Chapter 7 Duke Senin.
The man stared at her, uncertainty washing across his features. Before he could respond, Alidian stepped to the railing and summoned the sea. At her command, it rose up and poured across her feet, filling the deck and turning solid. Forming a great hand, it lifted her, Elenir, and Devkin off the boat.
"Just how much did your skill grow in prison?" Devkin asked.
An image of her tiny cell filled Alidian's thoughts, of battling hordes of shadow entities to bolster her willpower,
of forcing magic into her arm to harden it. She shuddered and directed the hand to carry them over the barbs to the beach. The captain called out an order, and soldiers rushed to intercept them, forming ranks that blocked their path. The captain sprinted off the docks and threaded a gap in the line, whipping his sword free.
"Don't let them reach Seascape!"
100 soldiers formed a phalanx around them, then 200, then 3. By the time Alidian set foot on sand, there were 1,000 men and women arrayed against them, all with weapons in hand.
"Would you shed an oracle's blood?" Elenir demanded.
"Your daughter has no qualms in doing so,"
the captain said. But his sword trembled, and the other soldiers seemed uncertain.
"Strike him down."
Alidian struggled with the desire to punish the man for his disrespect, but she didn't need to. The villagers began to shout at the soldiers, hurling curses at those trying to stop the oracles. The other soldiers shifted uncomfortably, their swords wavering. Alidia knew she should seek a diplomatic solution, but she could not suppress the magic of rage. It churned at the corner of her mind, yearning to crush them for their impudence. Her thoughts tinged with the burgeoning emotion, she began to advance towards the line of soldiers.
"Alidian," Devkin murmured, "do you intend to fight?"
Alidian wanted to say yes, but she recognized it coming from Whisper and fought the impulse. Throwing a glance at Alidian, Elenir took the lead. She caught Alidian's arm and held her fast.
"We do not kill allies," Elenir murmured. "Disarm them."
Alidian latched onto the escape from Whisper and reached into the sand, feeling the grains resting against each other, the lingering moisture from the last wave. Both answered her will, and the sand flowed upward, rising over the feet of the soldiers, twisting up their legs and tightening about their waists. The first rank of soldiers cried out as the sand yanked them to the beach and ripped their swords from their fingers. Alidian expected the rest to surrender and was not disappointed. The already uncertain men and women dropped to their swords, leaving the captain standing alone. A wave of laughter spread among the witnesses, causing him to flush.
"You will bring the Empire upon us," the captain exclaimed, finally lowering his sword. "We would have peace, but you would bring war."
"The Empire wants war," Alidian said.
"Please," he said. "I am just doing my duty."
She fought to keep her rage in check, but she'd spent a year in prison becoming lethal. "Captain," she managed.
"It is unwise to draw a blade on an oracle, especially in a time of such unrest."
The man shook his head.
"We want no part in a conflict between oracles. If you depart, they would leave us be. You and your blasted mother are..."
Alidian stabbed a finger at him and his voice ended, eliciting more laughter from the crowd. Alidian forced a smile, grateful her spell hadn't ripped his throat out.
"Our apologies, Oracle," a lieutenant said, stepping forward. "But we had our orders."
Then a faint smile crossed his face.
"But since you have defeated us, perhaps the Duke will see you now. If you would permit me, my men will escort you to the fortress."
There were nods of approval from the other soldiers, even from those bound on the beach. Their loyalty punctured her rage, and she finally regained her wits.
"Thank you, Lieutenant," Alidian said, extinguishing the magic that held them bound.
Eager to erase their previous actions, the soldiers smiled and rushed to greet Alidian and Elenir, allowing the people to approach as well. Still bound, the captain could only struggle and seethe in silence as the people greeted the oracles. Alidian smiled and clasped the hands of all who approached, but it was the ones who hung back that caught her eye. Instead of devotion and hope, their expression showed fear, indicating they'd also heard of the destruction at Dawn's Keep.
"Are you well?" Elenia murmured, her eyes revealing her uncertainty.
Alidian nodded.
"I am now." The lieutenant ordered his men to lead Alidian's party to the twisting roadway, and when they reached the top, they found a full company of soldiers barring their path. Alidian clenched a fist, but the lieutenant stepped to the fore and raised his hands.
"Let them pass." "You disobey your orders?" one asked.
He drew his sword and turned to Alidian.
"You will depart immediately from our shores."
He glanced to Alidian and retreated under her gaze. Alidian wrestled with Whisper until she could speak.
"Did you not witness what happened to your companions?"
The question was innocent enough, but carried a veiled threat that the man wisely heeded. He glanced between the lieutenant and Alidian before finally settling on caution.
"Let them through," he barked.
"But Captain," a man protested.
"Do you want to fight her?"
the captain demanded.
"You heard what she did at Dawn's Keep."
The man swallowed and retreated, the soldiers parting to allow them entry into the village. In their haste, none noticed Alidian's wince except her mother, who placed a hand on her arm. The contact was meant to comfort, but it could not erase Alidian's memory. Striding into the breach, Alidian led the way through a makeshift village. Word of their arrival spread quickly, with villagers and refugees lining the street. Most bore expressions of hope on haggard faces, but just as on the beach some expressed fear. Alidian smiled in an effort to extend comfort. Women held children, their clothes tattered and worn. Many had gaunt and dirty features, their eyes the yearning of the hungry. Those bearing colours of the region laboured in scattered gardens, their eyes filling with hope when they spotted Alidian and Elenia.
"Did Tariah really imprison you?" one asked.
"What happened at Skykeep?" another called.
"Did you kill Oracle Siana?"
The last speaker bore an expression of condemnation that lingered with Alidian to the fortress, and it took all her strength to keep her emotions from her face. They reached the fortress and made their way through the gates. Apparently deciding that they could not stop Alidian's party, the guards permitted them through without animosity.
"Duke Senin is expecting you," one said. "Because he cannot stop us," Devkin murmured.
The courtyard was filled with soldiers training. Most came to a halt to stare at Alidian, their scrutiny causing the hackles to rise on Alidian's neck, but they did not attack. As they entered the keep, Elenir spoke in an undertone.
"Take your time and use your farsight," she murmured. "And remember that you cannot command obedience. You must create the choice and allow him to make it."
Alidian nodded, unwilling to voice her uncertainty. Guilt assailed her at her near failure on the beach, and she almost asked Elenia to take her place. But a glance at her mother revealed the answer. Her mother was there to support, not lead. The keep proved to be a structure of stone and beam. Great chandeliers of antlers hung from the rafters and contained large light orbs. Broad windows allowed natural sunlight to further illuminate, while animal skins and heads adorned the walls. An older man sat on the throne. Dressed in a griffin uniform enhanced with a royal purple cloak, he conveyed an aura of authority and strength. His hair had turned silver, as had his goatee, both adding to the appearance of experience. He scowled at their entry.
"I see brutality is not exclusive to the Empress Oracles," he said.
"No blood was spilt," Alidian said, pleased that she kept her anger from her voice.
The man was riled, and she worried it would bring Whisper out.
"Where is Earl Aston?"
"No longer present," Duke Senin said with a derisive sniff.
Then his eyes shifted to Elenia.
"I thought better of you."
Elenia inclined her head.
"Oracles have always been permitted passage, except by traitors and bandits."
"You are merely tyrants," he replied, flushing at the veiled accusation. "And you should have obeyed my order, but since you are here, you can hear it from my own lips. This is my country now, and you are not welcome. Strike him down."
Alidian shoved the urge aside and swept a hand in invitation.
Now that I am here, the negotiations can begin.
Negotiations?
He asked, puzzled by the shift in conversation.
I do not need to negotiate with Princess Aura.
On the contrary, Alidian said. There are four distinct parties, and I am present to ensure an agreement is reached with all haste.
Four?
You have yourself and Princess Aura, but you also have the Rebellion and Earl Aston, whose throne you sit upon.
The man was on his feet.
I do not need your aid in negotiating with anyone.
As you order, Alidian said. In that case, I will remove myself.
The man contained his surprise and sneered.
And take your fleet of trash.
I apologize if I was unclear,
Alidian interrupted.
I will remove myself. The fleet I accompany has an alliance with Princess Aura. That alliance requires them to unite here with Earl Aston and Princess Aura. Since you have refused negotiations, the army will make landfall within the hour.
She'd bent the truth a little, but she felt it justified. Elenir bore a smile of satisfaction, while Devkin, too, seemed pleased at her tactic. Duke Senin appeared stunned as Alidian offered a short bow.
Since you refuse to deal with me, you will deal with them. Good day, Duke Senin. If you survive the day, perhaps I will visit you in prison.
With that, she turned and strode away, peeking into the general's future when her back was turned. She'd done as Elenir had suggested, and given him a choice. He could either fight the fleet, or allow her to negotiate an alliance. Truthfully, she hoped he'd fight, because it would get him killed. She took three steps towards the door before he cried out,
Wait!
Alidian turned to find the man descending the steps from the throne. Although he bore a smile on his face, a bead of sweat trickled down his forehead. He stabbed a finger to his guards, and they straightened.
Bring Aura and Aston.
The soldiers scrambled from the room, their armor clanking in their haste. Duke Senin approached Alidian but came to a halt when Devkin stepped between them. He swallowed and gestured to her.
You have the wisdom of your mother, he said, sweeping a hand at her. But I must ask, why will she not be directing our negotiations?
He spoke with a tinge of hope, as if expecting Elenir to be a kinder ally. He even smiled and bowed to Elenir. But Elenir demurred to Alidian with emotion and her own smile.
My daughter is now the High Oracle, she said, and I'm confident in her ability to broker a treaty.
Senin's features tightened, but he kept the scowl from his face. He'd lost everything when the Mage Empire had taken over Griffin, and managed to escape with his forces intact, a feat to be applauded. His ambition and greed aside, he was a man they needed as an ally. A side door opened, and Princess Aura was led into the room, as was Earl Aston. They were close to the same age, but Aston appeared older, his features open and earnest. Princess Aura looked much as she had in Alidian's farsight. Slim and fit, she had a swordsman's body and the beauty of her mother. Then Alidian noticed the shackles. Chapter 8 Disloyal. Alidian's rage exploded and red lightning blossomed on her forearms. She leveled her gaze on Duke Senin and began to raise an arm, whisper, bellowing for vengeance. But Devkin stepped before her and caught her wrist, wincing as the lightning cut his flesh.
Alidian, he spoke urgently, remember your cause.
She swallowed and clenched her fist, the magic of rage extinguishing as quickly as it had come. Her heart thundering in her chest, she wrestled Whisper back to the recesses of her mind and shackled it anew. Devkin retreated out of view, and Alidian realized her outburst had not been noticed. Aura was shouting at Senin, drawing all eyes to her. The guards had moved to restrain her, and during the seconds it took for Alidian to regain control, they were not watching.
"High Oracle," Aura said, straightening in her shackles.
I demand retribution.
Release the princess, Elenia said, her voice so forceful that the guards obeyed the order.
I will see you hanged for your betrayal, Aura spat. I am the rightful heir to the throne.
Earl Astyn stepped to her side and placed a calming hand on her shoulder.
Duke Senin claimed we were traitors and has us imprisoned, he said to Alidian.
Alidian's blood boiled and again whisper came to the fore. She clenched her fist against the surge of rage and did not respond. Elenia noticed her expression and spoke, giving Alidian time to rein herself in.
Duke Senin, explain yourself.
One of my guards caught them plotting, he said. I was forced to imprison them.
That's a lie, Aura shouted.
Alidian raised a hand to forestall another argument. When she spoke, her voice carried a timbre that made all present fall silent.
Duke Senin, I am aware of your ambitions, but you are also a cautious man. You must understand that the Empire and my former Oracle sisters will not be content with their lands. They will expand into this region, and you will not be able to stop them. Only united can we end the Mage War.
What would you have me do?
Senin asked, sweeping his hands wide.
Fight an unwinnable battle?
We already did that, Devkin said. And we survived.
Senin snorted.
I want our kingdom back, but I cannot send my men to war for the sake of my ambition. We can rebuild here and leave them be.
It's my kingdom you are forsaking, Aura growled, advancing like a charging bull. And I will free my people.
And it's my region you wish to claim, Astyn said.
The guards undid his shackles as well, and he stepped to Princess Aura's side.
My father may be gone, but you have no right to imprison me.
I have every right, Duke Senin snarled, stepping down from the throne to stab a finger at them. Your father tried to fight and lost many of your meager forces. When I arrived, your people were in shambles and on the brink of starvation.
Duke Senin, Elenia said, you cannot simply take his lands.
The general snorted.
This boy cannot control this region any more than Elenia could her council. His father tried to fight the Empire and died, just like he will. Aura is an outcast princess without a homeland.
Your soldiers are Griffin soldiers, Aura said, striding toward him. They are mine to command.
It's been a year, princess, Senin growled. You carry a title for a land you do not possess. How long can you claim royal blood when your nation is gone?
Land or no, she snapped. I am still the heir.
I'm the king now, Senin shouted.
Alidian listened to the argument with anger in her heart. Aura was right, but so too was the duke. He feared for his men and the people and had no desire for bloodshed. But Aura believed they could win if they stood together, and the duke would not do so without incentive. She frowned, realizing that what she was about to do would be manipulative, twisting the circumstances to the most favorable outcome. It was exactly what her mother and the other oracles had done.
Princess Aura, Alidian said, interrupting their shouting. You need Duke Senin to reclaim your kingdom. If you seek to fight Duke Senin, both sides will lose, and ultimately the Empire will be the victor.
I'm not going to ally with this bag of dog.
Do you wish to free your people? Alidian asked.
Of course, but then give him an offer for his allegiance.
She folded her arms.
He is a duke of my kingdom, sworn to uphold my throne. His allegiance has already been given.
Be that as it may, Alidian said, raising a hand to Senin's retort. Your kingdom is gone, and if the Empire continues to endure, the people will adapt, and all hope of returning you to your throne will be destroyed.
Anger washed across the Princess Aura's face, but ultimately she turned to face Duke Senin and ground out the question.
What is the price of your loyalty?
Duke Senin's demeanor changed, the smug expression all but goading a mortal blow.
If we survive, I want half.
Of what? Aura demanded.
Of Griffin, he said. I want the throne.
The audacious request was met with a shocked silence. Then black fury clouded Aura's expression and she closed the gap, reaching clawed hands for Senin's throat. Earl Astin managed to catch her about the waist just in time.
I'd rather die than see you sit on my father's throne, she snarled.
Without me, there is no throne to have, the Duke said.
This is absurd, Aura said, rounding on Alidian. You want me to accept this?
Hating herself for the answer, Alidian gestured to the Duke. Either give up half your kingdom to him, or lose the whole of it. Astin stepped to Aura's side and spoke in an undertone, but Aura jerked her head. She flashed a look at Elenir as if she'd betrayed her, and then stomped from the room. In her absence, Astin turned to the general.
She'll consider your proposal.
Then he departed. The Duke smirked and strode to the throne, but Alidian called out to him.
That seat is not yours, she said, a trace of a threat in her tone. Claiming it now would be unwise.
The man obviously wanted to argue, but the glint of violence in Alidian's eyes caused him to obey.
Your fleet may land, he said, but you'll still have to pay for the healers.
Duke Senin's eyes flicked between them, and he abruptly realized he was not among friends. Scowling, he turned and swept from the room, leaving them alone with the guards. Devkin sighed as he departed.
The demon dwarf has more honor.
Elenir smiled sadly.
That's not saying much.
Devkin, Alidian said, and he paused at the door. Can you ensure the rebellion is cared for?
There's a stream a few miles southeast from here, he said. The elven plant mages can use the trees to build a temporary camp.
Alidian nodded. Make sure the wounded are placed in the village. Once they recover, they can be moved to the new camp.
As you order, he said, but remained in place.
I am well, Alidian said, and noticed his hand was bleeding where the rage had cut his flesh. Grimacing, she stepped to his wrist and healed the wound.
I am well, she repeated, hoping her tone was reassuring.
He held her gaze for a moment before nodding and slipping from the room. Alone with her mother, Alidian waited for Elenir to ask about the incident, but she merely waited at her side. Finally, Alidian sighed and turned to her mother. Does being an oracle always require manipulation?
Would Senin have joined without the promise of a kingdom?
Never, Alidian said, her expression disgusted. He would have fought, and our rebellion would tear itself apart. He has too many loyal to him.
Then which is the better fate? Elenir asked. A partial victory or a full defeat?
Alidian had no answer, but Elenir seemed to understand.
I'm sorry, daughter. I truly wish I'd had more time to prepare you.
I always thought our magic was a blessing, Alidian said. Now I'm not so sure. Elenir smiled, but the expression was one of regret.
Oracles have centuries of training which you have not had. Now you must learn in the fire of conflict.
Alidian sighed and turned toward the door.
We must hasten, she said, or our forces will not be ready when Tariah arrives.
Then it appears our work is just beginning, Elenir said. It took 2 days for Alidian to convince Aura to relinquish half of her kingdom. Despite the fragile treaty, tensions were rife among the officers of both sides, and it took all of Alidian's focus to prevent a conflict. The rebellion fleet needed supplies and healing, for which resources were limited. Plant mages were forced to plant and harvest crops each day, just so there would be enough food. Shelter and clothing were also in short supply, and tempers were quick to flare. Fortunately, the tale of Skykeep served as the greatest balm. Those that had survived the battle were lauded as heroes, with even the mercenaries and thieves receiving accolades. As news spread that the rebellion had formed an alliance with the princess, the tension gradually faded and the people united. Griffin's army prepared with all haste for an expected conflict, and battlements were raised across Seascape. Scouts were dispatched south to the Blue River, the border to the Mage Empire. But as days passed into weeks, the Empire did not arrive. As the tension mounted, Alidian rode with Devkin to the camp close to the river where scouts had reported back. Through her farsight, she saw the Empire marching toward them, but there was no sign of Tariah's forces.
"You found nothing?" Devkin asked the scout.
Alidian and Devkin were in the rapidly growing forest camp on the coastline. The elves were using their magic to shape the trees into homes, the settlement quickly filling with refugees. Trees groaned as they obeyed elven magic, the leaves drifting down onto the table of maps.
"No, High Oracle," the scout shook his head. "I rode 2 days into the Empire but found no sign of an army, or even other scouts. Do you wish me to search anew?"
"Yes," Alidian said. Devkin nodded.
"And send scouts east and north. We must not be caught unawares."
The scout bowed and departed, and Alidian turned to Devkin. "You think she'll try to surprise us?"
"I won't put anything past that woman," he said. "What does your mother think?"
Alidian sighed. "She's been absent of late. She denies it, but the loss of her magic has hit her hard. I do not think she is well."
Devkin leaned over the maps. "I don't understand. It's been weeks. She should have invaded by now."
"Our army has grown," she reminded him, "and she lost many at Skykeep. She would need time to regroup."
"Not this much time," Devkin said. "She's up to something."
"What do you suggest?" she asked.
"We need direction," he replied, gesturing to the maps like they were useless. "You need to know when they will come."
"I've tried," she said, passing a hand over her face. "Her future is clouded, and the only thing clear is her arrival." He went rigid.
"The only clarity is their coming here."
"Why would that matter?" Devkin scowled and stabbed a finger to the map.
"You only show your hand when you have something to gain."
She caught what he was insinuating. "You think she has no intention of coming here. But if that's not her tactic, what is?"
"That's what you need to find out," he said, "before it's too late."
Chapter 9. Council. Alidian finished her work in the camp and then mounted a horse, Devkin on a steed at her side. Although they should have been safe in their own camp, her protector refused to leave her alone, and as refugees greeted her, Devkin watched them with steely eyes. As was custom, many tried to grasp her right hand, but they invariably flinched when they came in contact with her flesh. Cold and hard, her right arm remained a legacy of her efforts to escape her cell. She still refused to speak of her escape, but rumors were rampant. Many were still afraid to approach, but most had accepted her role as the new High Oracle, she guessed partly due to her mother's support. Although none outright accused her of killing two oracles, all knew that Rain and Sianna had perished at her hand. More than anything, Alidian feared the result if one accused her of murder, and how Whisper would react.
"You cannot cage me,"
Whisper seethed.
"Not forever."
Alidian refused to acknowledge the magic of rage, and turned her attention upward. The village had changed considerably under Earl Astin. Now back on his throne, the young man had taken a firm hand in organizing the people. They ascended the road to Seascape, pausing several times to allow wagons to pass. When they reached the top of the cliff, they found soldiers occupied in training, the shouts of officers echoing over the clatter of weapons on shields.
"I need time undisturbed," Alidian said, when they dismounted in the courtyard.
"I will make certain none knock on your door," he said.
She nodded her gratitude and they ascended the turret to her chambers. Now, eager to find an answer to their dilemma, she settled into a chair as Devkin shut the door. Drawing in her breath, she closed her eyes against the view out the window and dived into her farsight. She found Tariah's tree in seconds and went to work. The minutes dragged into hours as she sought to pierce Tariah's plan. Tariah held to her decision to crush Alidian, but as she examined the branch leading to the invasion, she found a number of discrepancies. No definite date of departure, the order never given to march. Alone they meant nothing, but taken together they implied a false plan. She scowled and rose to pace, considering the options. When she'd departed Skykeep, she'd foreseen images of Tariah's vast army reaching Seascape, and still saw the same images. Now she understood the tactic was a ruse, an intent that hid Tariah's true designs. She considered asking her mother for advice, but Elenir had been increasingly absent since their arrival in Seascape. Elenir claimed it was to let others accept Alidian as High Oracle, but Alidian suspected there was more.
"What are you doing, Tariah?" she asked the empty room. High in the tower, the room afforded a view of the fortress and the sea below. The circular bedchamber contained a bed, desk, and mirror, but little else besides a private bath. The fortress had been built with an eye for defense and lacked the luxuries of Dawnskeep. Still, after her year in solitude, it felt spacious, and she watched the sun set on the beach. Retiring to the chair, she pushed into her future and followed Raiden's future. He kept his decisions vague as always, but she managed to trace a branch she suspected was his true plan. What she found caused her magic to disintegrate, leaving her staring at the wall. She rose to her feet and stepped to the door. When she swung it open, she found Devkin outside. She'd been deep in her farsight for hours, and the soldier had used the time for personal training. Using the landing as a training circle, he'd fought imaginary foes until sweat lathered his body. He'd removed his shirt, revealing muscles that defied his advanced age.
"Sorry," he said, donning the shirt. "I didn't know how long you'd be."
She snorted with amusement.
"Now I know why all the women are so interested in you."
He grinned.
"My grandchildren keep trying to introduce me to their friends' grandmothers. You think I should accept?"
"Yes," she said, "but later. Tonight we need to gather a war council."
He sheathed his sword.
"Did you divine her plan?"
"In part," she nodded.
"Excellent," he said.
He wiped the sweat from his face, then straightened.
"I'm tired of training."
His movement brought the scent of sweat to her nose.
"Take a bath first," she said. "Then summon the others."
"I'm not leaving your side," he protested.
"You're not standing next to me," she said with a laugh. "Go. My future is clear. Find my mother and I'll talk to her."
He hesitated and then nodded.
"As you order."
After he departed, Alidian dipped into her farsight anew to seek for additional details. She kept expecting her mother to arrive, but the time came for the council, and Elenir did not appear. Concerned and irritated, Alidian descended to the council chamber. Situated adjacent to the main hall, the council chamber boasted tall windows that allowed the fading light into the room. Earl Aston's father, who had built the table with his own hands, had settled countless conflicts without bloodshed by inviting adversaries to talk at his table. Paintings on the walls depicted past earls, the framed portraits placed opposite the windows. Alidian reached the chamber first, arriving just as Devkin appeared.
"Elenir?" she asked.
"I didn't find her," Devkin said.
Alidian scowled, But Astyn and Princess Aura appeared, and she smoothed her expression to offer greeting. Deflecting their questions, she motioned them into the room and remained in the hall. A moment later, Duke Senin appeared with the demon dwarf, the space between them suggesting a mutual dislike. Alidian nodded as they passed and entered the council chamber, and then lowered her voice. "I want to know what my mother is up to," Alidian said. "Before..." Alidian spotted Elenir at the end of the hall, and Devkin followed her gaze. Regal in a green cloak, she strode the length of the hall and came to a halt in front of them. She smiled at their expressions and gestured to the room. "Shall we?" "Where have you been, Mother?" Alidian asked. "Can't a retired woman have her secrets?" she asked. Alidian went to respond, but she turned to Devkin. "May I speak to you a moment before the council?"
"Of course," he said, his eyes flicking to Alidian.
"We'll just be a moment," Elenir said, smiling blandly. Alidian didn't care for Elenir's secrecy, but she'd always been secretive. So why did it bother her now? But the council was waiting, and they'd come on her order. Frowning, she started to turn away. Elenir's eyes flickered a shade of green. On reflex, Alidian looked back, but they were the same blue they had always been. Elenir stared at her with a quizzical expression until Alidian dismissed what she'd seen and entered the room. Earl Astyn had taken a seat at the head of the table with Princess Aura on his right. The demon dwarf had taken a seat in the middle, while Duke Senin sat on the opposite end. The dwarf snorted at his choice and picked dirt from under his fingernails. Renowned as the most villainous of the dwarves in his kingdom, the demon dwarf carried a powerful fire hammer. He was the dirtiest of the group and the most unsavory, yet he'd played a hand in their victory at Skykeep and seemed inclined to linger. More importantly, the outcasts that had joined their army looked to him as their head, making him akin to a general. Alidian nodded to him as she chose the seat on Earl Astyn's right hand.
"We are gathered at the request of High Oracle Alidian," Earl Astyn said, inclining his head to her. "We all know the circumstances, so I will skip the formalities of an official meeting."
"I never liked formalities," the demon dwarf said. "Or meetings."
Still distracted by her mother and Devkin, Alidian cleared her throat to gain time.
"I know Tariah's plan, or at least part of it."
That got their attention, and Duke Senin scowled.
"It's about time."
Raising a hand to forestall Aura's outburst, Earl Astyn motioned to Alidian.
"You do not seem concerned."
"More confused," Alidian said.
The door opened, and Devkin and Elenir joined them. Alidian spared them a look and continued.
"Tariah wanted me to think they were going to attack, but they are not marching here."
"What does that mean?"
Devkin asked.
"The Empire is not seeking retribution," Alidian said. "At least, not now."
"I don't understand," Princess Aura said. "They want the Empire to cover the whole of Luminea. Leaving us alone just gives us time to gather allies."
"I agree,"
Devkin said.
"Tariah will not leave us alone forever." "Can you not foresee what she intends?"
Senin asked.
"She can't see everything," Aura said, her voice full of scorn.
Senin flushed.
"They may have two oracles, but we have one of our own. Surely she can discern what Tariah and Maressa are planning."
"Tariah and Maressa keep their futures uncertain," Elenir said. "We must make a plan regardless."
"So what do you suggest?"
Duke Senin demanded.
"Invade?"
Alidian smiled.
"Yes."
"I'm not taking our army into the Empire without knowing what we'll face," Senin said with a scowl. "We need answers," Devkin said, offering an approving nod to Alidian. "I'm confident that Raiden will send a message soon." "You want to invade the Empire?"
Senin asked, rising to his feet.
You cannot know what lies in store, and we will be slaughtered.
You would cower here? Aura asked.
Senin sneered.
A fool rushes into battle and is always the first to die.